Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is called Summer Highland Falls.
Welcome back, Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington on a Football Friday, presented by Alarm.com, keeping you connected to what matters most. Joining us right now is John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom. They have what you need to live the game. In stock now, find the latest in all golf clubs, apparel, shoes, bags, and more at Golfdom. In Tyson's Corner or at golfdomgolf.com and tell them the Junkie sent you. Golfdom, live the game. Good morning, John.
Good morning, gentlemen. How's everybody doing?
Doing good. So you've alluded to your book, which deals with race and sports throughout the last few months, and I know it's right here. It's coming out. I think you were sending us books last week. I don't know that they've arrived yet, but perfect time to kind of talk about your book and what has happened this week in the NFL with the email scandal and John Gruden.
Yeah. Again, to me, this is a symptom of what still goes on in this country, not just in football, not just in sports. My colleague, Sally Jenkins, wrote a very good column the other day in which she said this was part of the football culture. I think it goes beyond that. I think it is part of our culture. Period. Then, you know, when I make comments, like I point out that there are only three black coaches in the NFL, head coaches in the NFL out of 32, or two major league managers out of 30, both of whom, by the way, are in the LCS for the second straight year, interestingly enough. People say, why do you always make race an issue? I mean, that's just a couple of examples. Well, the problem is, as Doug Williams says in the foreword to the book, because he wrote it, race is an issue. It still is. We saw that in 2017 with the anthem protests. We see it now with a guy like Gruden. Anybody who thinks John Gruden is the only person in the NFL or in sports with that sort of mentality just isn't paying attention or is in denial. Take your pick. When I was a kid, the ultimate put down in the locker rooms I was in as a swimmer, as a baseball player, were homophobic. I can say that there were no racial put downs because we were we were diverse. We had half our team was black, half our team was white, roughly, except at junior high school where I was the only white kid on the basketball team. So I've been around this all my life, and it's part of the jock macho mentality. But it also goes beyond that. And Gruden being exposed as part of the Washington football team investigation is ironic, I guess. But now it goes way beyond Gruden. Gruden's done. You know, he's part of the past now. The people have to demand that the NFL release every email that Beth Wilkinson gathered, and somewhere there's a written report, which the NFL refused. Mm-hmm. It's all part of a cover-up. They're covering up, and I don't know if it's just for Snyder and his team or for people involved in the entire league like Gruden, but this is a cover-up, and it needs to be exposed.
I want to add, your colleague Barry Savaluga, I just saw his tweet. I didn't read his article, but he said he wrote like a week ago. He wrote an article about how all of the issues this year for a change were finally about the team and not the off-field stuff.
Yeah.
And then he's like 2 days later, he's like, oh, I'm an idiot. Mm-hmm. And then we've had the email scandal.
The trainer,
the DEA right. drug raid. Now you got the Sean Taylor debacle.
Did they screwed up something as simple as retiring a number?
Yeah, I mean.
They can't get out of their own way.
No, they can't.
I give them the benefit of the doubt in a sense that let's just assume Dan is a kind of removed. I mean, but it still happens. How does this stuff still happen?
Well, first of all, I don't think Dan is removed at all.
Okay.
I think, come on, who does he live with?
Right.
The alleged, CEO of the team. Come on. Mm-hmm. So I don't think he's removed at all. I think every decision,
he keeps going.
I think every time Jason Wright opens his mouth, it comes from Dan Snyder. Mm-hmm. The same way as it was with Bruce Allen, except Jason Wright is a nicer person and is a lot more articulate and comes across to the public better.
Yeah.
But you talk about not being able to get out of your own way. I mean, clearly they want this Sean Taylor thing to divert attention from everything else, from the investigation, from the drug thing, from all the things going on within that organization that are a mess. And yet they screwed it up by waiting until 3 days before the game. I'm guessing what they said is, let's do it this week because we got a really good team in town and we don't have a sellout because they never sell out. And we can sell some more tickets and get some positive publicity. Instead, Jason Wright's issued two or three apologies yesterday? I lost track. I mean, it's just unbelievable. Yeah.
Well, just to be fair, a guy named Steve Rosenberg called us who wrote a book about Sean Taylor. He's a friend of the Taylor family, and he did correct us on a couple of things. This was planned a few weeks ago. The Taylor family down in Texas, they couldn't get back here until real early Sunday morning because their other son is playing at Rice, and they were going to surprise the family by unveiling the retired jersey. All right, so I agreed with you. I thought it was deflection, but there might be some other details that the public doesn't know. Either way, they can't get out of their own way, and it just looks bad every time they talk or do something. And
have you noticed that Dan looks more disheveled lately? I'm obsessed with it. I can't stop it.
A picture of him taken at the first exhibition game with Tanya and Wright and a couple, and he looked like he'd just come off the beach or something.
Yeah.
You know, which is totally anti what he's been.
He used to be a suit guy.
He's becoming an everyman,
suit guy
John.
Everywhere.
Yeah.
Suit guy everywhere. And he shows up at a game, you know, looking like Magnum, although not at all looking like Magnum, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And so I have noticed that. I don't know. Maybe he just has gotten to the point where he goes, you know, everybody hates me, so I might as well be comfortable. I don't have a problem with that.
Last time I saw him, he was wearing like a camouflage hoodie, and he was walking about he couldn't have cared about his wife less. He was walking about 10 steps ahead of her. Yeah. She was trying to catch up in her high heels. And it was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Funny.
No, and you know, someday, and I probably won't be alive, but someday somebody's going to write a book on this whole Snyder era. And if you go back through the 20 years, it's amazing the number of screw-ups. I mean, the least of it almost is how mediocre and poor the team has been throughout the entire time. And now it's all seemingly coming together. The fact that the NFL is blatantly covering this whole thing up, and has from the beginning.
Sure.
I mean, what kind of investigation that you would presumably pay a lot of money for doesn't end with a written report being handed over? Have you guys ever heard of that before? I certainly haven't.
Yeah, usually there's a report that people can leaf through and read, and you know it's tangible.
And pick out the highlights or the lowlights.
No,
and obviously the NFL didn't want that. They wanted to control the information. You know, if you go back and read the initial NFL release on this, you know, it says, okay, we fined him $10 million, and, you know, there was this bad atmosphere, but now it's all good, it's all fixed. Dan and Tanya, they refer in the report to the Snyders as Dan and Tanya, like they're buddies. You know, this is an official report on horrific stuff going on inside the organization, and it's like, yeah, it's all good, and it's all fixed, and okay, let's move on. Huh. And don't ask any questions. Nothing to see here. Well, clearly there's a lot to see here.
Well, yeah, I mean,
it's just amazing how one person can seemingly, it all traces back to him. One person can so poison what was once
for 20 years
organization. Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's incredible.
Yeah, and he still owns the team.
Everything the he's other, ever
yeah,
touched.
Yeah, that's the thing, Jason. I don't understand. We all know that if you took a vote here in Washington of people who've been fans of the team for years and years, do you want Dan Snyder out as owner? I think it'd be 99%.
Oh, easily. 100. I think it'd be 100.
Maybe 100, but it'd be at least 99.
Yeah, could unite the country.
Yeah, it would unite
and
DC at
least. Given all the terrible publicity this guy has received, it's not like this just happened, or they can say, well, oh, it's just this one time. And there are all sorts of stories about the way he treats people. You know, even going beyond the sexual harassment charges. I mean, just the way he deals with people, and yet they just sit there on their hands and don't do anything.
So what is,
well, they're afraid that he'll litigate or that stuff will come out about them. Let it, you know, let it come out. I mean, if it's there, it's going to come out. You know, on other owners, it would have come out the way it did on Jerry Richardson, but. Why do they just sit there and go, oh, yeah, it's fine? I've told you guys this story years ago when I interviewed Goodell in his office for a magazine piece. At the very end, I turned off my tape recorder, and I said, okay, tell me what you really think of Snyder, you know, because you have to deal with him all the time. And he went into this thing about what a great guy Dan was.
He was lying to you.
And I just looked at him. I said, you really feel that way? And he said, oh, yeah. I said, well, you're the one.
Right. Yeah. He went into robot mode. That's what he did.
Totally. I mean, I'm like, wait a minute. You can't even be honest when I'm clearly not going to quote you?
The only thing I could think is kind of what you've alluded to, I think is what you're alluding to, is that the owners are just so – they have so many skeletons, too. They don't want to be next. That's
yeah,
the only thing, and
it's
protecting
a good old
each other.
Boys club. Let's
yeah.
be honest.
Yeah.
You know, there are a couple female owners, but it's a good old boys club. And, you know, they all sit around and smoke their cigars and probably, you know, tell stories about women and things like that. And, you know, like if they got rid of Snyder, Snyder probably would come out and say, well, this guy did that and that guy did this. And even if it wasn't provable in a court of law, it would certainly create issues in the court of public opinion. Although, isn't it amazing? I was thinking about this Sunday afternoon watching the Cowboys and Giants, and every time the Cowboys made a good play, there's a shot of Jerry Jones.
Yeah,
you know, with his yeah. sons sitting there, right. and it's like, wait a minute. First of all, who cares? Why do we want to see
right.
any owner?
We don't.
And second of all, is it in the contract that they have to pay homage 14 times a game? I mean, it gets to be just gross, actually.
John, you know who I blame for all of this? The whole Snyder era. Milstein, because if
yeah.
his finances were better, we
he
never
was allegedly
would have had the
worse.
Snyder era.
He was allegedly well, worse.
Well, the irony of the
Snyder.
Whole thing is one of the reasons the NFL owners didn't want him was because he had a reputation for being litigious.
Yeah, being a bad guy.
Look what they got instead.
Hilarious.
Yeah, so they got pretzel boy. All right, real quick before we let
stupid
you go,
stupid Milstein.
You probably didn't watch the entire Dodger Giant game last night. It ended at 12:30.
I have it on DVR. I haven't watched it yet. Right.
Okay. I watched it on DVR this morning. Fast forwarded through all the commercials, yada, yada, yada. It sucks that people on the East Coast can't see that game because it was so
right.
intense. But Max comes in, gets his first save. He was awesome. Now, there was a questionable, controversial call at the end. I don't know if you've heard about it, but there was.
I've read about it, yeah.
Yeah. It was not a swing, but he gets the win. I was rooting for the Dodgers, obviously, just because of Trey and Max. And now it's Dodgers Braves, and then it's Astros Red Sox. Which story is more intriguing to you?
Well, you know what? First of all, baseball should use this as a reason to go back and look at the system so that you don't have a 107-win team, 106-win team playing a five-game series instead of a seven at the start of the playoffs instead of as late as possible, which would have been the LCS in this case. But beyond that, you know, the Giants were a great story all year. But Stan Kasten runs the Dodgers. I've been a friend, quote unquote, since he ran the Braves before he got to Washington.
Right.
So I was glad for the Dodgers. to win. But I would have been happy for the Giants because they are a hell of a story. I think the Dodgers are going to be a tough out for the Braves. I just do. They came from 3-1 down against them last year to win. The Dodgers don't dominate in postseason, but they do get it done. They needed a walk-off to beat the Cardinals. Clearly, that's why Mike Schilt got fired.
That's crazy.
More to that story.
I know. You win 17 straight games and get fired.
17 straight games in September.
Right, right, right.
To get into postseason. I mean, it's just – and his record for 4 years has been terrific. But something happened.
There's got to be more to that story, yes.
Yeah, and the Red Sox-Astros is intriguing, of course, because you got Alex Cora on one side, who was with the Astros during the cheating scandal. And then you got Dusty managing the Astros, who was not there during the cheating scandal. I love it when postseason games are played in Fenway. The atmosphere. I'm glad there'll be atmosphere.
Yeah.
That's we didn't have that last year, obviously, and there will be atmosphere in both these series. And again, like you guys, because you guys get up super early, I wish they just at least start at 7 on the East Coast.
I know.
You know, it's a tough time on the West Coast, whether it's 4 or 5. So start at 7. Give kids a break. That's what I've been saying all these years, ever since they went to these late starting times. You know, the next generation of baseball fans, you know, I watched every World Series game as a kid. They were in the afternoon.
Right.
But now my kids, your kids, they can't stay up to watch. And that's why baseball's audience skews older every single year. And I don't know, you know, I know what the TV networks want. Take a little less money. And start the games an hour earlier. Play a Saturday game in the afternoon, for crying out loud.
Kicks,
you know, last time they had an afternoon game? 1987.
Give DJs a break.
Kicks, take a little less money for your reads, your commercial reads.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to happen.
Yeah, well, exactly. That won't happen. But maybe the MLB, you know, they keep bragging about how, other than last year, their attendance is up, everything is great. Okay, take a little bit less in TV rights. And move the starting times up 1 hour. I'm not even advocating for afternoon games because I know that's impossible. But give, you know, if you start and the length of these games, that's the other thing they've got to address in the offseason. The length of these games is just ridiculous. And if they don't put in a pitch clock at the start of next season, Rob Manfred and Tony Clark should both be fired.
That's the only way they're going to do it because they made those changes this year and they had the longest games ever. This was the longest game ever, and they tried to address that in the offseason.
And they experimented, Jason, in the minor leagues with a pitch clock,
right.
15-second pitch clock, and it reduced the time of games by 21 minutes.
That's big. That's the only way they'll
do it. That's huge.
All I'm saying is thank God for the DVR.
Yeah, I'm with you, pal. I'm with you. That's the way I start my mornings, and being able to fast forward through the commercials and all that is a relief. I will watch this game from beginning to end without the commercials because I want to see the drama build as they get to the late innings because I know it did.
Yeah, you're going to enjoy it.
All right, John, we got to run.
Yep, have a great weekend, guys.
All right, thanks.
You too. John Feinstein, brought to you by Golfdom. They have what you need to live the game in stock now. For the latest in golf clubs, apparel, shoes, bags, and more, it's all at Golfdom in Tyson's Corner or at golfdomgolf.com and tell them the Junkie sent you. Golfdom, live the game. Coming up next, we've been talking a little bit about the behind the scenes with the Sean Taylor situation, the emails, and more. Let's talk about on the field.
Ooh.
What do you expect in Washington against Kansas
boat
City?
Boat race sound effects anywhere?
You can call us at
800-636-1067.
No. That's 800-636-1067. We'll get into the game next here on the Junkies.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Welcome back on a Football Friday on The Fan, presented by Alarm.com, keeping you connected to what matters most. Need to remind people you can always check out the Junkies podcast we release on Thursday, celebrating our 25th anniversary, presented by PenFed Credit Union. Whether you're in uniform or not, you can apply today at PenFed.org. This week, we tackle the day after the Caps won the Stanley Cup, so you can check that out at TheFanDC.com. All right, so we wanted to get into the game. Washington faces the Chiefs.
Go to the game.
They have the same record, Cakes. They're equal, right?
I'm sure they're equal.
Chiefs.
They have equally bad defenses.
Have actually a worse defense than the Washington football team. They're giving up over 30 points per game. So what do you expect on the field between the Chiefs and the Washington football team? If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. You can call us on the Gambit DC listener lines. Bet, play, win with Gambit DC, brought to you by the DC Lottery. You can also text the fan on the Thomas Creek Windows text machine, 1-800-636-1067. Standard message and data charges may apply. Let me just point out, they are both 2-3. But the Chiefs, they've lost to the Baltimore Ravens. That was a thriller of a game, 36-35.
Mm-hmm.
Baltimore Ravens, one of the best teams in the NFL.
Yep,
they also
one.
Lost to the Chargers.
Yep.
30-24.
Also 4-1.
And they lost to the Bills.
They've played the toughest schedule.
Meanwhile, Washington has 2 wins, a lucky one against the Giants, and 1 against the Falcons. I think this is going to be a bloodbath of a game. I'll go 41-20.
This is the thing.
Three-touchdown win for the Chiefs.
This is the thing that should scare you about this team. Now, they're 2-3, okay? They're not great, and their defense is terrible. But they've played the toughest schedule, I'm guessing, on that. But they've had, just based on win percentage, they've played a 3-2 team, 3-4-1 teams, and the 2-4 team, the Eagles, they played, they destroyed them. Well, they beat them 42-30, but they put up 42 on them. And the Eagles' defense isn't as bad as Washington. So,
nope.
That should scare you. And then, of course, you know, it's Mahomes. Even though he's turning the ball over a lot more than he would like, he's doing it against some really good teams.
He also has a lot of touchdown passes.
Well,
he
he's
does.
Got the most in the league. He's got 16.
We don't have like a ball hawk in the secondary or anything like that. He's just, you know, there's no one he has to avoid.
What about William Jackson III?
Ball hawk.
Paid him a lot of money.
No. They don't have anything like that. So I mean, it's not like we have a dig.
Is there anybody in town listening that thinks that Washington could shock the world? And it's not really shocking the world. I mean, it's not like Kansas City's 1,000 on the money line, I mean, minus 1,000.
They're only a 6.5-point favorite, unless the line has moved in the last 24 hours.
It's about that, but is there anybody who thinks they could win this game somehow? I think it would be only if Mahomes got hurt.
It would have to be a miracle.
If they had to play Chad Henne.
Or if somehow the defense just all of a sudden comes alive,
right,
and they have like a 4-sack game.
I think that's the only big thing is that you just point to it that the defense can't play any worse.
We say that every week.
Yeah, well,
they're not playing worse. They're just playing.
Since Ioannidis came, I've given up on Chase. I kind of given up on him. So I need Ioannidis to have a big game.
Right.
If Ioannidis has a big game, I'm now trolling.
Does anybody believe Mahomes?
If Ioannidis has a big game,
does anybody believe Mahomes won't have at least 4 touchdown passes?
He could have 3.
4 touchdown passes.
Now Tyreek Hill didn't practice yesterday. Well, just because the last 3 quarterbacks, 2 of them mediocre this year at least, had 4 touchdown passes.
Dude,
they might bench.
I've said all week, they might bench Tariq and those guys just to get healthy because they know they don't need to play him and win.
Well, Hill didn't practice yesterday.
No, I think they're resting Hill. He'll be ready Sunday. And then if they're up like 35-10, that's when you bench.
Who's the backup? Who did we say was the backup?
Chad Henne.
So Chad Henne will take the last snaps for
Casey. You think?
If Chad Henne is on the field for any length of time and it's not because of Mahomes' injury, then it's going to be an awfully awkward conversation with Ron Rivera come Tuesday.
Oh, no, it's going to be
because
bad.
That means it's like 45-10.
Here's the worst.
This is why Hill and Kelsey will play. I know they've been banged up. Hilaire's going to be out.
Tell me why they will.
Because they
want to get on
they
track.
They know they have to win the game.
But they'll win without him.
If you take Hill and Kelsey out, I'm not sure they're going to win without him.
I think Mahomes could win.
They're
going to
play Brian Pringle.
I think he'd win with you, Valdez, and Drabby running around.
I just think that their defense is so bad, they know they're going to have to play. They can't fall to 2-4.
Yeah, they need
Kansas City needs the game, all right? Now, even if Hill is, you know, 75%, he's still going to do some damage. I mean, he's got 516 yards and four touchdowns. He averages 14 yards a carry. I think they're going to play. If they don't play, then it gets interesting. Because I don't think you can just stick guys in there and they're going to make plays.
This is the worst case scenario, and it typically plays out lately. So we defer or whatever. Kansas City goes down, they score.
Oh, you can't defer here. You have to take the ball first.
No. Ron's already said that they're not going to change. They're going to
defer?
Yeah, they're always going to defer.
So you're just going to let Kansas City march
because
down
like
the field?
They like having it at the end of the second half. So they defer. They come down, they score the obvious touchdown, you know, something like sort of like, I don't know, maybe a five-play drive. I mean, it won't take long.
Right.
They score, and then we go three and out. They score again, and then Taylor's in grass mode. And where he gets impatient and he just starts throwing the YOLO balls, and then it's on. Then it's going to be
the saving grace
horrific.
Is that McLaurin should have an explosive game.
As long as he doesn't get smoked out by the smoke machine, because he was talking this week.
I heard that.
He was afraid to run into cheerleaders.
The secondary for Kansas City is, you know what it is? It's Washington football team level bad.
Yep.
It's really porous, and he should have a huge game.
Let's go to the phones.
Maybe he keeps a minute.
800-636-1067. What do you expect on the field? We've been talking about a lot of off the field stuff this week, from the emails, Bruce Allen, to now Sean Taylor and the jersey. But what do you think is going to happen on the field, KC, Washington?
All right, let's go to Joe in Bowie. Joe, what's up, buddy?
What's up, Junks?
Hey,
Joe. Joe, you're in a great town.
It's not that great, be honest with you. It's where
it's
we came
pretty good.
From. It's where we came from, but it's not that great.
It's great. Bowie the great. Bowie.
Where
great
do you
town.
Live in Bowie? I just need to know.
Where I live right by Allen's Pond. Do you guys know where that is?
Of course. Do I know where that is?
You live in Northview.
Are you kidding? Do we know where Allen's Pond is?
They grew up there.
We're Pointer Ridge guys.
Come on, guy.
Come on, man. P-section right here, brother.
South Bowie Rec. South Bowie Rec side.
Exactly.
Okay. All right, so first I'll say EB, Cakes, Valdez, Jason.
Yeah.
I love all you guys, okay? That's
thank
my first
you.
Thought there. I love you guys.
Well, I love you.
You forgot Drab.
We love Joe.
And me.
And you forgot
Jimmy.
Yeah.
That's because Drabby's a nasty Seahawks fan, so.
Right. Yeah, he is. Right. Seahawks.
Okay. Yeah. Somebody,
so what do you expect?
Somebody won. Of course, we're not going to win the game. This is a must-win game for the Chiefs. They're going to get it done. We do not have the offense to go back and forth with the Chiefs. So, like you said, the defense has to come through. I don't see it happening. I also want to say, I think Ron does not like coaching for us. There's a lot of crap going on. Like you guys said, it doesn't seem like he's enjoying coaching for the Redskins. That's all I got to say.
I think if he starts winning, he'll start enjoying it, but they're not in a good spot.
Like,
and he knows the schedule, too. We've talked about it many times. After this week, who do they have, Cakes?
They have the Packers.
They got
in
Rodgers.
Lambeau.
All right, then there's a brief respite against Denver, and then who do they have?
They come out of the bye against Tampa.
Yes.
Okay, it's brutal.
So at best, they're going to win one out of the next four.
Yeah. You know, just like how the Cavs won, it's just like how when EB said, well, if we start winning, Ron, we can talk about winning. It's just like, look what the Cavs did. Prime time, TNT, got it done. This is what I just wish for the Redskins can do.
Thank you, pal.
Thank
all
you.
Right, Joe.
No problem.
Have a good weekend.
I wish I could go back in time and show Ron Rivera everything that has unfolded while he's, you know, the head coach of the team, and ask him, if you knew all this is going to happen, even with the handsome salary you're getting paid, would you take this job? He might say no.
Yeah, I can't remember.
He'd get another game.
I have other options.
I would think he probably does regret it.
I don't need this nonsense.
Do you think he regrets it?
Oh, yeah.
Taking the job?
Yeah, yeah. Because there's plenty of other jobs.
100%.
Do you think Jason Wright regrets it?
I don't know. He's probably making pretty good money.
No, he was making good money before.
I don't know. You would know more than me.
I think everybody regrets it.
If he relished the challenge, this is the challenge of a lifetime for Jason Wright. To deal with all the nonsense here.
Challenge of a lifetime.
But that being said, Ron and Jason had to have known. I know, sorry. Had to have known something bad was going to happen.
Yeah.
It's just a track record.
Of course they had
so
to know.
They went in kind of holding their nose going,
yeah.
I don't know, but I'm hoping for the best.
Hope for the best. Expect the worst. Yeah.
What are you pointing at? Let's go to Anthony at D.C. Anthony, what's up?
Hey, I got it. All the Skins have to do, you guys called it 4 weeks ago. All they have to do is force 18 punts.
Right.
Later, guys.
Right. Apparently, Coach Rivera was on with Kevin Sheehan, like half an hour ago, and Kevin Sheehan basically just asked him the question that I just posed.
Did you regret it?
Well, I mean, I got to hear
his audio right here.
Well, okay, no, we don't. It's funny because, you know, it's part of the job. It's part of the responsibility. And you're right. I remember coming here in the 80s and playing. I remember in the 90s coaching here when the crowd was still, I mean, when the fan base was still ruckus. I mean, they came and they lived and died with this team. And that's what I remember. That's what I would love to see us get back to. I understand it's hard, you know, and I've said it. But if we can turn it around, if we can do some positive things, just imagine what it would mean for this community. I mean, this fan base is more than ready. We've got to now keep up our end of the bargain and do things the right way and win football games.
Saying it's hard.
It's all talk.
It's all hard, man.
It's all talk.
He's right. It is hard to win here.
It's all talk.
He is correct about
that. You got to win here.
Back in the day, the fans were ruckus.
They were ruckus. Now, look, he was a linebacker. He got hit 1,000 times.
Guys,
he started coaching. So, look, if you're going to go from ruckus to raucous, you get it mixed up.
Right.
I give you a pass.
All right, this has to be another joke. Earl and Laurel. He's predicting that Washington wins. It's got to be a joke.
It's not FUBU, Earl, is it?
I don't know. Let's see.
Good morning, my good buddies. Yes, I'm predicting the Washington Redskins. Victory. What is so great about the Chiefs? Their defense is worse than ours, fellas.
Yeah, but their offense is 100 times better.
If we get the running game established and just dominate.
Nobody runs anymore.
You're grasping.
That's just old school.
You're grasping.
From the 50s?
What do you want us to do, run 40 times?
Right, what are you, Army?
Come on, guys, help me out there. I'm trying.
Right, you're grasping. That's what you're grasping.
I'm grasping. You can say that. I'm grasping.
I think this is one of those games. Thank you, Earl. This is one of those games where you watch it knowing you're going to get boat raced, and anything less than a boat race is a win.
A moral victory?
If they lose by 7, it's a win.
Moral victories. I am into moral victories.
All right, coming up next, we have Washington football team insider Sam Fortier from the Washington Post. Keep it here on The Fan.
Football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Welcome back to the show. Junk's on 106.7 The Fan and NBC Sports Washington. Don't forget, Rich Voss is going to be joining us in studio coming up in the 9 o'clock hour.
I know. He's out here waiting patiently, entertaining us.
But it is a Football Friday on The Fan, Cakes, presented by Alarm.com, keeping you connected to what matters most. And we'll continue this conversation about the Washington football team with Sam Fortier, covers the Washington football team for the Washington Post. We're efforting.
There's efforting going on.
Right.
Yeah.
My bad.
Samuel Fortier.
Well, I'm just busy talking to Voss during the break. He just cracks me up. There's some people, Jason, you know how John Witherspoon always made you laugh. Well, Voss, same thing.
Yep.
Fantastic.
Can't wait till he comes in.
By the way, we will hopefully get connected with Sam Fortier.
Mm-hmm.
Behind the scenes, there was somebody who stiff-armed Drab not once, but twice. We never promoted it.
What do you mean, stiff-arm? Oh, you mean Junior?
Yeah, gave him the highest.
You just threw it out. I wasn't going to say his name.
Well, I mean, look, it doesn't matter. I'm not going to be mean, but we keep trying to book Junior Gallette because he'd be interesting.
Right.
And
he could talk about Chase Young.
Some people are just
moves.
Unreliable.
Yeah.
And he's just unreliable.
Yeah, I mean, never call him again.
Yeah, I mean.
Well, but it'd be worth it just to never promote him. I think it's worth it to effort behind the scenes,
yes.
But never promote him.
I'm going to keep trying for him.
Never again.
He just disrespects me.
Yeah.
Junior only gets sized at 11 p.m. at night to come on.
Right.
He's all about it.
That's going to be a
at
problem.
At 9 a.m., he's not
That's
into it.
That's going to be a real
By
problem.
The next morning, he's not available.
Maybe it's Valdez. Maybe it's a Rick Valdez interview.
Oh, that's true.
From
that's
home.
Good point.
That could be a bit.
A bit season.
It's been a while since Rick Valdez made an appearance.
But we do have Sam Fortier on the line now from the Washington Post. He joins us on the BetQL guest hotline. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Hey, Sam.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So obviously there's a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff, which we can talk about, whether it's the emails or the Sean Taylor thing. But let's start where we just left off in the last segment, and that's on the field. What do you expect to see on Sunday?
A lot of points scored, I would guess.
Yeah, I think this is going to be actually a pretty good test of Taylor Heinicke, especially if you think, you know, when he's gotten down in the past, whether it be when he was in Carolina or whether it be here, you know, you saw in the Buffalo game, he could not stay, you know, composed and make those right decisions. You see one or two mistakes from him per game. So if Washington's defense is disappointing again, and, you know, I know Ron has said that there's reasons for optimism, but if it's disappointing again and you get in a sort of shootout scenario, I think the question is, can Taylor Heinicke keep his head? Can he not have those, you know, bad turnovers? And I think that's one of the things where you look at his body of work and you say, okay, this guy does some really good things. You know, he's got some good mobility, but can he stack those consistent decisions? That's the thing I'm most curious about.
And Sam, from hearing some of the audio of Taylor this week, it seems like he's turned that negative energy from the Saints game, he's turned it inward into himself. Like I think he's beating himself up for the poor performance, and maybe that just channels him into having a better offensive performance against the Chiefs. And, you know, we've seen what the Chiefs defense does. They allow tons of points. They allow a lot of production to wide receivers. So I think if he gets that connection back with McLaurin like he had in the Atlanta game, I think Washington can hang in this game.
Yeah, and I think the key part here is the Chiefs are obviously having trouble with a lot of things on defense, but you know, particularly I think tackling is one of those things that stands out, because I mean Taylor Heinicke isn't a Mahomes or a Josh Allen who's going to beat you with the long ball down the field most of the time. I mean, this is going to be the sort of thing where he's going to need to hit a timing route, you know, over the middle and let Terry take it the rest of the way. So to me, I mean, you know, this sort of the weaknesses of Kansas City seem to align with sort of what Washington wants to do and you know, can do well on offense.
So I wanted to ask you about something you wrote about earlier in the week and something we've discussed on this show. So Alex Smith said that they're running a vanilla defense, right? And I've heard some people criticize the defense saying that it's predictable. But you wrote about the fact that they haven't run the 4-3 actually since week 3. They've been doing different formations. How do you see what Jack Del Rio and the defense, what they're trying to do?
Yeah, so to me, this is sort of a combination of things. And actually, I think one of the things that you saw on Sunday against New Orleans is I think Ron really felt, or Jack really felt, like he had to pick between, do I want to play my youth? Do I want to develop my guys, Benjamin St. Juice, Jamin Davis, or do I want to play to win? And Ron Rivera made obviously pretty clear that he was playing to win this week. And I think that's one of the reasons why you're seeing, you know, so many sub packages, whether it be 5-1-5 or 4-2-5 or, you know, the different things that they're doing, because really they I just don't think that they, you know, trust their linebackers right now, particularly, you know, Jamin. And so there's a lot of growing to be done. And I think that not playing your true base defense is because you don't feel like you have the personnel to do it.
Is anybody telling you off the record? I'm not asking you to divulge an off the record conversation.
You just want a yes no answer.
But just kind of vague. Is anybody kind of insinuating you at, like, raising their eyebrows, like, we botched this pick?
If it was off the record, I couldn't say it. But I will say, I think that publicly, and I think, you know, he would tell you this. Ron Rivera is not, you know, even though he said, yeah, this is, you know, taking a little bit longer than maybe we expected in terms of Jamin's development, I don't think that they're thinking right now, 5 games into the year, that they botched the pick. I mean, if he is still, you know, struggling, you know, to play fast and he's still processing too much in, you know, week 10 or 12 or whatever, like, yeah, I think that's the point where you say, okay, maybe, you know, we didn't understand this pick that much. But Jack Del Rio yesterday said, look, he's just overthinking it. We need him to let it rip. That was the quote from him. So to me, it's pretty apparent what's going on with him, and they just need him to figure it out, because he does have the physical talent, they think. So I think that, you know, he's got half the problem, and they just got to figure out the rest.
The question is against this offense, let's just assume Hill, Kelce, Hardman, they're all going to play. Now, Hilaire's not, so he's been their leading rusher. I guess they go to Darrell Williams' cakes behind
yeah,
Allaire.
Yeah, that's who's going to play.
But he hasn't had that many carries. So I think Mahomes is going to throw the ball 40, 45 times. I just do. And they're going to target Tyreek. They're going to target Kelce. So it's going to be the Hill and Kelce show. The question is, do you think we see some different players in the secondary? You think a DeShazer Everett gets a little bit more time? I don't know if they bring in Apke. I don't know. Just because he has speed? Do you think they'll do something different defensively because they got to know Andy Reid just going to sling it all over the yard?
Yeah, this to me is one of actually like the questions that I don't feel like people have talked about as much, and that, you know, including myself. But Jack Del Rio has used either – it's tied for the fewest or it is the fewest – overall number of players on defense. So even though he's using all these sub packages, they've only used 19 different players on defense this year, which is one of the fewest in the NFL. And so to me, it's, you know, if you're being predictable, and Jack Del Rio yesterday said he does not think being predictable is a problem when asked directly about it, I think that bringing in some of those different players, such as DeShazer Everett, could be a way to give the Chiefs a look that they haven't seen yet. And, you know, I don't know if he'll do that. I obviously won't make those decisions, but it is one of those things where, you know, a good example of this is when John Bostic went down. You know, the coaching staff talked a lot about Khalik Hudson, the fifth round pick out of Michigan from 2020, how he was going to step up. We didn't see him for hardly any snaps on the field. So if the players you're playing aren't working, but you don't feel like the players behind them, an Everett, a Hudson, could help, then kind of what's the way to go forward here?
It's a great question. Another
question. We're joined by Sam Fortier, covers the Washington football team for the Washington Post. Usually when you see a player described as like day to day, you may be optimistic you might get some production out of them. Ron Rivera is calling Curtis Samuel now week to week. Like, how alarming is that? That this is a guy that, you know, that they clearly targeted during the offseason, wanted to help upgrade the offense, help, you know, run him outside McLaurin. And I think they'd be lucky to get any sort of tangible production from him the way he's looked so far through five games.
Yeah, predicting the health of Curtis Samuel is been, I think, one of the most maddening things, not just for like us, but for Ron Rivera probably throughout this entire offseason, because, you know, even back in training camp, when you thought you were going to get him back, he goes on the COVID list. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, he would be an integral part of this offense, right? Because he is that sort of, you know, give the ball to him and he can make plays happen. He's a home run threat in the same way that, you know, Terry and Antonio Gibson are. So he would be incredibly valuable to this offense if he were 100%. But when you go back to that Atlanta game and you have to play him a few more snaps than you anticipated because De'Ami Brown and Cam Sims went down, Ron Rivera called the injury last week, you know, the reason he only played five plays was an accumulation thing. So they're now kind of paying the price for that Atlanta game. And though, you know, he could practice today, he could play on Sunday, obviously he remains a huge question mark and not someone that you can rely on moving forward.
All right, Sam, we got to run. Appreciate the time. Appreciate the insight. That's Sam Fortier from the Washington Post. Thanks, pal.
Thank you, buddy.
Of course. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yep. Coming up next, we go around the league with the Junkies Blitz. Keep it here on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.